I'm James Dillon of Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Experience, and you're listening to Ramble On.
Whenever I bake, especially custard pie, I crank Led Zeppelin.
Oh, and how are you? I'm Brian Gardner, and that was Alton Brown's Led Zeppelin Haiku from his Haiku interview with Late Night with Jimmy Fallon in December. Talked about it at the end of last show, and I actually ended up sticking it on the end of last show, but decided this time to start up with it too, since, well, I didn't actually have anything else to start it up with, so. And thanks once again to James Dillon for the intro. Hey, happy 2012. I had the opportunity the week before Christmas, although I download a lot of podcasts and kind of listen to them and work. And almost everybody was on holiday. So I took episode 1 to 9, threw them on my iPod, and I listened over 2 or 3 days, listened to them all. I had an opportunity to listen to what I've been doing and how this is going, and distance, you know, kind of helps you hear really what it was. So it gives me some ideas, what to do going forward, where I'm good, with some spots I thought I was good, I wasn't, some spots I thought I was really, you know, it was really weak, I wasn't. One thing I can tell you for sure, I didn't like the sound in the last episode. Last episode I used the headsets instead of the table mic, or desk mic, actually, in this case, I suppose, and I just didn't like the dryness of the sound at all, and I didn't think it worked well. Not to mention you can hear me breathing half of the time. So we're back to the desk mic. However, we did find there was two problems with the desk mic. One was shuffling papers, that sound of the, you know, whenever I was changing over, you know, I kind of keep a little script in front of me. And it's from about episode 6 on, it's been paper. The reason being, I tried to do it all on the computer. And I was hesitating back and forth, you know. A couple episodes I mentioned, I got an email from Wyatt saying the transitions were better. Well, the transitions were better because I had printed up the script instead of reading it off the computer and trying to go from the internet to, you know, how am I doing on GarageBand? Is everything recording well? Over to the, and it just, things got too wiry. So I printed up, and that really saved me a lot of trouble. So we want to get away from the paper. Solve that problem. Got an iPad for Christmas. Got everything on the iPad. So we're going to see how that works today. And speaking of the iPad, I got a book to review today that I downloaded off the iPad. Called Led Zeppelin Uncensored on the Record by Bob Carruthers. Read it in the iPad format, which was cool because I could make notes as I was going. Put in bookmarks. Oh, I want to mention this when I do a review. Boom. Throw in a bookmark. Highlight it. Make a little note. It's all right, so we'll see how that works out. I'm hoping it's going to work really well. It should really simplify the process of just doing a quick review, finding a page I want to, that page is easy to find, that sort of thing. We'll talk about the book later. It was $2.99. You know, I got it from iBooks. It's also available from Amazon on Kindle edition. Kobo didn't have it, but it was $2.99. I think. Actually, I can't find the price on my computer again because I bought it. It just tells me download. It doesn't give me price. But it was that on Kindle, and I'm almost positive. But if you go to buy it and it's $3.99, don't yell at me. It might be, you know, might be $4.99, $3.99, but I think it's $2.99. But it was, it was a nice way to read the book, especially when I wanted to review it. And I'm well prepared for it. So let's hope it goes that way. The other thing with the desk mic that I didn't like, losing my track. Hold on. The squeak, the seat squeaks. You hear that? And I'm gonna have to oil it or something. It's the one, and actually, it's not as bad as I thought it was. I've kind of been aware of the problem, but it really doesn't come across that bad when you listen to them, as it seems to from in my headphones now. But the little things are all getting solved as we go. We're 10 episodes in. This is episode number 10, by the way. We're 10 episodes in, and hopefully each one's technically better, if not content-wise. Yeah, it's content's out of my control sometimes, so... in the news, Robert Plant, Boston Globe reporting that they spent, Robert Plant and Patty Griffin spent Christmas in Portland, Maine, with Patty's sister, and they furthermore report that the couple are engaged. Now, we've talked about, are they married here endlessly? Certainly they've been wearing rings, and there's rumors of the wedding, then there's rumors that it was kind of a mock-up just to, I don't know, just to get people like me or something, I don't know. Gives me something to talk about, so I don't care. If they're having a good laugh, I'm getting to talk, so that's what I care about. And, you know, hey, everybody's enjoying themselves, right? But this article does specifically say they are engaged. Last month, we told you a rumor, a Maine native and folkstress Patty Griffith might be engaged to Led Zeppelin and Band of Joy frontman Robert Plant. Turns out it's true. The musicians who are betrothed were in Portland for the holiday weekend to visit Patty's sister, etc., etc. So there you go. Sounds like a wedding is on in terms of that. Well, as they say, good catch, Patty. And I would argue, yeah, that certainly is true, I think. John Paul Jones this week had a radio, or not this week really, it was over Christmas, December 26th, Boxing Day, this came out, an interview with VH1, and in it he commented on what might have been, and this is what might have been had John Bonham not died in 1980. Here's what he said: we were optimistic. I knew it would have been interesting, it would have been musically interesting, it would have been nice to see us happy again. We were getting happy again. There were a few dark moments at the end of the 70s. It's an interesting comment for a lot of reasons, really. But, with that tour in 1980, one of the things that they seemed to have gotten to a point where they were enjoying the music again, it seems to be something that happened with that European tour in 1980. And if you have, I like to talk about Dave Lewis's books. If you have his Feather in the Wind over Europe 1980 book, he talks about at the end of the tour, Robert Plant kind of going up to Peter Grant and say, yeah, we'll do America. And he really seemed refreshed by the music. And there have been interviews with Jimmy Page through the years where he talks about he wasn't really happy with In Through the Outdoor. They were working on a new album. Him and Bonham had already laid down or started writing some stuff. They had some really kind of heavier grooves going, that sort of thing. And so it's an interesting comment. It would have been interesting. It would have been nice to see them, take it as far as it could, wherever that was. But such was not to be. And, that's why we're here doing what we're doing instead of out at the shows and stuff, I guess. But here's another little nugget at the tacked into the end of this story, and the story is by Amy Scarretto, and I messaged her on Twitter to try and get where she got this confirmation. I have contacted them, Crooked Vultures management, and got no answer. Being a blogger is one of those existences where you do it, you have to do it, you do what you have to do, you contact people, you send them the emails, and you get ignored. They don't care. But it says, is also in, John Paul Jones is also in Them Crooked Vultures with David Grohl and Josh Homme. They are working on their second album. Now, where did you hear that first? The last episode, I believe it was, I said, there had been some movement on their Facebook page, not much, and just out of curiosity, I looked at everybody's schedule, and nothing was on. Nothing was happening. Although it did come out that Josh Homme was busy with a Queens of the Stone Age album, supposedly. But I said, don't be surprised if there's a second Them Crooked Vultures album. It just looks like everybody's schedule is clear. And busy, busy guys like these don't clear their schedule randomly. It's, so when the Foo Fighters have nothing on, and all three of them kind of nothing in their schedule at the same time, that's suspicious, or at least it's noteworthy, more than suspicious, I suppose, right? And So you heard it here first, and we're reading it there, and I'm trying to get confirmation, hopefully by the next time. I've been working a lot with Skype lately, and I've got better at, more comfortable with using it to phone people and stuff, and it's so dirt cheap that I may actually just phone their management and say, hey, look, you won't answer my emails, what's going on? That would be nice, but you also got to give people a chance to answer the emails. Maybe I send another email out, and we'll go from there. Jimmy Page, well, not Jimmy Page necessarily just, but the Olympics are coming up in London. Of course, Jimmy Page did the closing ceremonies in China, and so the rumors are that Led Zeppelin are going to reunite for the Olympic opening ceremonies in Britain. There's also rumors that Pink Floyd are going to reunite for it. That's being shot down by, I think it was Gilmore kind of shot that one down. Don't listen to the stories, by the way. I'm not suggesting it's going to happen. I would be shocked if Robert Plant went for this one. I would just the sort of thing that I think he would find cheesy. More than, you know, and I don't have a problem with them doing it. I don't have a problem with Jimmy Page doing what he did. I know some people do. I you know, you do these things, right? That's just, I think I've gone over that before, but I can see Robert Plant saying, you're not a chance. Jason Bonham was having a chat with Classic Rock Magazine, I think it was, and the subject came up, and he said, haven't spoke to Robert for about 6 months, but he is really enjoying himself, presumably being married is what he means, I think. If you ask me if it's going to happen immediately, well, no, there's no talk of it, but he said that in 2007. If you said to me in 2007 I would play with Zeppelin in December of that year, I would have said you were nuts. So you never know. So he's kind of given the you never know, we may get together, but really poo-pooed the Olympics thing happening. And the chances of Zeppelin playing are unlikely, I believe is his words. And that's fine. I don't expect them to do it. I was kind of surprised that rumor's even out there. It just makes no sense to me. However, Jimmy Page has said he'd be honored to ask to perform at London 2012 Olympics. He has told The Independent, and this interview, actually, when I got sniffing around the story a bit, this one comes from September, and I may have seen it at the time, but told The Independent he hadn't been asked about appearing, but strongly hinted he would accept if offered. If asked, it would be an honor, as he says. Defended his performance from the China one, and here's, he says, we got so much criticism, I really don't know why. I think we did a great job, it was an honor to be there. People just need to be less cynical. You know, we went out there, we only had 10 minutes, what do people expect? And I agree with that. It was not great art by any stretch of the imagination. And I don't think anybody was pretending it was great art. It was almost a bit cabaret, and that's fine. You know, as long as everybody knows what it is. And if Jimmy Page wants to play the ambassador to England kind of role once in a while, that's, you know, that's fine. I don't have a problem with it. Some, I guess, do. I don't know. Onward, ho to Jason Bonham. Black Country Communion 2, their second album, was listed as the 7th best album of 2011 at Gibson.com. And here's what it says about it. A supergroup touring 4 famous British and American hard rock personalities was bound to draw major interest from the rock contingent. Black Country Communion, featuring bass player and vocalist Glenn Hughes of Deep Purple, expert drummer Jason Bonham, keyboardist Derek Sherinian of Dream Theater, and blues rock guitar guru Joel Bonamassa, bring more than an empty buzz to their second studio album, 2, which arrives in June. 2 carries catching, real thing blues rock, connecting the dots between delicate, intricate instruments and epic classic rock bluster. I don't even know what half of that means, you know. connecting the dots between delicate, intricate instruments and epic classic rock bluster. I don't know. Sounds like they're writing a thesis more than criticizing music sometimes. But number 7, I gather what they really mean is that they liked it. And in the list of 10 rock albums of 2011 are number 10, The Beastie Boys, Hot Sauce Committee Part 2, Is it just me? Am I missing something about the Beastie Boys, by the way? They just got elected into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, too. Aren't these guys a rap band? On what basis does anybody call them a rock band? But maybe I'm wrong. I'm really surprised to see it. Just looking at this now, saying that out loud, I'm surprised to see that there. But there you go. Number 9 is Chickenfoot 3. Number 8, Blink 182, Neighborhood 7, Black Country Mania 2. Number 6, Stained, by Stained. I don't know them, actually. Number 5, Evanescence by Evanescence. Number 4, Primus, Green Naga Hide. Number 3, 6 AM, This Is Gonna Hurt. Number 2, Red Hot Chili Peppers, I'm With You. Number 1, John Paul Jones, Them Crooked Vultures, Pal. Foo Fighters, Wasting Light. People go, oh, the Black Keys, where's the Black Keys? And speaking of Black Country Communion, they are going into the studio in June to record their third album, with a release expected for late 2012. My little script I have written, you know. Honey, if you're listening, I want Black Country Communion 3 for Christmas. There is no working title at this stage, by the way. If you're a Black Country Communion fan, Classic Rock Magazine this month has, and I think I have mention of it somewhere later in here, but has Joe Bonamassa on the cover, and a really good kind of basic groundwork of how he's gone outside of the music mainstream in terms of the record companies and the producers and that sort of thing, and him and his manager do everything themselves, sell every t-shirt themselves, sell every album themselves, do it all kind of independently themselves. And manager's actually like an angry guy about the music industry. But anyway, if you're a fan, that's an interesting article. I just finished it about an hour ago, so it is pretty good. All right. The general news. On January 6th, the Anchorage Museum in Anchorage, Alaska, debuts the Led Zeppelin Cosmic Light Show, a new way to rock Led Zeppelin's legendary music. Be transported. So this is a Led Zeppelin planetarium type laser Zeppelin, I guess. Although the Cosmic Light Show is what they're calling it. The Led Zeppelin Cosmic Light Show runs mood-altering art, 3D graphics, choreographed to some of Led Zeppelin's biggest hits, including Whole Lotta Love, Immigrant Song, and Ramble On. It's an immersive rock and roll experience. There's those thesis things again. Immersive rock and roll experience plays out in the Anchorage Museum's full-dome planetarium screen and features state-of-the-art sound system. So you can see it runs from January 6th to April 28th. So if you're up in Alaska, head at that Anchorage, you get the Led Zeppelin Cosmic Light Show from January 6th, which is yesterday. I'm recording this on the 7th, through to April 28th. It's at 8 p.m., first Fridays. So January 6th, February 3rd, March 2nd, April 6th are the actual dates. Something in there doesn't make sense, does it? Saturdays. Live show at 4 p.m. Saturdays, January 6th through April 28th, and at 8 p.m. first Fridays. Okay, so at 4 p.m. on Saturdays, from January 6th until April 28th, and 8 p.m. on Friday, on the four given Fridays, January 6th, February 3rd, March 2nd, April 6th. Tickets are $10. An advisory adult subject matter. I guess it would be, I don't know. It's a whole lot of love, adult subject matter. if you understand the words, I suppose it is. Cameron Crowe talks about his 1975 cover for Rolling Stone magazine. The piece titled "The Durable Led Zeppelin: The Ultimate Classic Rock" is a piece, but I think it's in a new interview in Rolling Stone. Cameron has an interview on Rolling Stone, and a piece entitled "The Durable Led Zeppelin" ran on the cover. As a conversation with Jimmy Page and Robert Plant by Cameron Crowe back in 1975. It was their first time on the cover. Crowe kind of infiltrated. If you've seen the movie Almost Famous, the band is, in theory, Led Zeppelin, the young fella doing it, Cameron Crowe. And so he winds up on the road and kind of ingratiating himself with the band and getting a fairly good comprehensive interview, which nobody else was doing at that point in time. Here we go. He spent 3 weeks on the road working on a story for the Los Angeles Times and pitched the group the idea of the cover of the Rolling Stone. Slowly, the members of Zeppelin began to come around, with Page remaining the lone holdout. Enter future Eagle star Joe Walsh, who was on the road with Zeppelin at the time, and advised Page to give Crow a shot. As Crow remembers, Walsh said, "You should trust the kid. Come on, he loves your band. He wants to write about you. Let him be on the cover with the story." So they did it. They actually did a promo photo with Black Roses and stuff, and it didn't turn out for some reason. The picture didn't turn out. So they ended up going with kind of a montage cover instead. But Crow talks the story. An interview in Rolling Stone magazine this month, I presume. Or it's, at least it's on the webpage. I don't know that it's for sure in the magazine, but it's on the webpage. Links will be on rambleonradio.com. If you go there in the next day or two, I will provide links. And I'll tell you what, I just got the scare of my life because Cameron Crowe just came blasting under my earphones. So it is a video interview. I can confirm that now. It's not in the magazine. It's a video interview. Give me a minute to get my heart rate back down. So with the new year, with the end of 2011 and the oncoming of 2012, on New Year's Eve, the Achilles Last Stand website, run by Jeff Strawman, did a top 10 stories of 2011. And here's what he listed as top 10 Led Zeppelin stories of 2011. Official Led Zeppelin O2 concert gearing up for release. And that was true. That was a story. That was a fairly big story back in February. It was coming. There was lots of rumors I heard at different times. And then in the late fall, kind of, you know, late October, it just, whoa, no, it's not coming after all. The word kind of came down the pike. Don't know why. In August, there was the marketing genius of Led Zeppelin IV, a story about how brilliant they actually did marketing it, not putting their name, not putting any pictures, not putting anything that IDs the band on the cover of the album. An article more than an actual story. And these are actually the top 10 popular stories that he put on his website. So it's not a news story per se. It's just what people were interested in that he put on. And that was one of them. Trent Reznor and Karen O cover Immigrant Song. Robert, a whole lot of love. Robert Plant and Patty Griffith, a couple. And certainly I've talked about that half to death. This started in June. The story started coming. And, of course, by now we're talking about, are they engaged, are they married? Led Zeppelin offered a song to Haley Reinhart for American Idol performance on May 18th. The story was that, that was a bit weird, but that Jimmy Page and Robert Plant actually contacted American Idol, said, you know, if that kid wants to do one of our songs, we'd be good with that. I've never actually believed that. That makes no sense. But there it was. Robert Plant and Patty Griffith debut Crown Vic lineup in Marfa, Texas. We're down to four. How's that? Led Zeppelin legend Robert Plant teams up with Les Miserables tabler Alfie Beau for album and live shows. And that was at the end of September was the story. The article, it was in late October the actual song was released, I think. And there has been no live shows as yet, or no announcement of live shows even. But, you know, it's coming. Rolling Stone unveils a list of best drummers of all time. And number one was John Henry Bonham. This is from August 20th, to 10 best Robert Plant songs. I'm going to attempt to honor the singer on his birthday by looking at the 10 best songs. And here's his list of songs. This is actually, I never seen this before, and I didn't cover this story at the time. But here we go. Number 10, Tight on the Highway. Number 9, Another Tribe. Number 8, See a Love. 7, Angel Dance. Number six, Your Ma Said You Cried in Your Sleep Last Night. Number five, City Don't Cry. Number four, Song to the Siren. Number three, Down to the Sea. Number two, Tall Cool One. Number one, In the Mood. That's an interesting list. I have a couple issues with it, but that's, you know, it's a matter of taste. I would do more from his early stuff. If I was going Robert Plant, you know, in his later years, I would be doing far more from something like Big Log from the first album. In the Mood, I agree with, by the way. I love that song. Every year my daughter does a little musical thing. She plays piano fairly well, and her and this guy do at the school, they do like a talent show, and they're always looking for some songs, and he sings, and she plays the piano, and I every year I tell him, do In the Mood. This would be great for just a piano and a decent singer. And they don't want to listen to me, but so I have no problem with that song. Certainly, Tall Cool One, I like, but it's a bit dated. I think, you know, it's one of those things that works really well at the time, though. I don't know. Song of the Sirens not my favorite. City Don't Cry from the No Quarter. Yeah, I have no problem with that. Angel Dance is a good one. Sea of Love, I don't think I would stick in there. I don't think anything from Mighty Rainy Ranger would make my list. If I Were a Carpenter, it might make my list. And I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. But that's a nice little list. And that was story number two of the top 10 from Achilles' Last Stand. And the number one story, Jeff Beck hints at Robert Plant collaboration. And that was on September 13th. Jeff Beck kind of, and I think it was, you know, one of the things Strawman does is he lifts stories pretty directly from other people, other sources. Now he sources them, he does it fairly, but he'll just take full, you know, and this one comes from Planet Rock, and it's just, it's a copy-paste type thing. And I think the mainstream media, for lack of a better, not a term I like actually, but for lack of a better word, the Planet Rocks and those, I think they took this story way too seriously. Just the tone of the things Jeff Beck says, I think he's tongue-in-cheek. I think he's having a little laugh. But that's maybe, the Classic Rock magazine I mentioned earlier, that Jeff Beck's got a new album coming out this year. He says it's going for Power Trio. And it's something he's really looking forward to. Who knows? Maybe Robert Plant's been singing on that, you know? But I don't think so. I haven't heard any evidence of that. I think he was just kind of airy-fairying it almost. Anyway, speaking of that Classic Rock magazine, here's just a little story that I caught regarding Aerosmith's new album. Aerosmith has a new album coming out this year as well. And their producer, Jack Douglas, who's done a fair bit of their albums, came in and it wasn't going well, and he came in and pulled it all together. And he says, the first thing they learned was an old Yardbird song. He wouldn't say what Yardbird song, but he does say it's a lesser-known song, but you would know it. And that, being that they're big Page fans, I wonder if that would be a Page era Yardbird song. On the other hand, what the heck does that mean? It's a lesser-known song, but you would know it. Is it, would I know it or would I not? If it's lesser-known, then I probably wouldn't know, right? But that's, Aerosmith has got a new album coming out this year, and apparently there's going to be an old Yardbird song. Be interesting to hear what they got in mind. So we're on to the reviews. This book I picked up, you know, got the iPad, went into iBooks, looked up Led Zeppelin, and I'd never seen this one before, and it was, as I said, $2.99, I think it was. And it's called Led Zeppelin Uncensored on the Record by Bob Carruthers. Now, he lays this out in an album-by-album format. It tells the story of Led Zeppelin through the music, really. Through the, here's, you know, they went in, they recorded the first album, they did these shows around the first album, then they recorded it, then they did some shows, and then it was released, and here's the album. And he goes through every song. And then he kind of talks about the, you know, the first American tour, second, then it goes into this, the war tours, and as they're touring, he's talking about the recording, the next album. And he really kind of focuses on the recording and the albums and the music with very little, very, very little, the junk stuff. the stuff we all know and we've all read, and if I never read about the shark again, I think I've said this before, but if I never read about that again, I I'm fine. And he does get into, obviously he gets into the Robert Plant stuff, the accident, Carrick's death, and he does get into Jimmy Page's heroin use, but always kind of in context of the music. The music is suffering at this stage because, kind of, you know, or the recording of In Through the Outdoor is, it goes this way because, you know, more that than anything really is the junk to a minimum. Let's put it this way. Now, frankly, any biography that doesn't start with Jimmy Page was born on a rainy day in 1940. I know there's people screaming at their computers right now. With the year, I don't know it offhand. But you know what I mean? I don't care about their childhoods. I read a lot of bios through the years, I read a fair bit. And I rarely, if ever, care about their childhood. So, did you like Life? Keith Richards' Life never got past the childhood. I can't. It drives me nuts. People want to fixate on, well, I crossed a river to go to school, and I went up this hill, and I was at school where Miss Jones taught me math, and we all did that. I don't care. I'm interested in somebody because of what they did that was exceptional, not what they did that everybody else friggin' did. So, you know, when your uncle bought you a guitar, that's when the story starts to me. Or when your professional life, and this actually starts with John Paul Jones as a professional musician, 1961, around there. Actually starts with the Yardbirds, Jimmy Page and the Yardbirds breaking up. Then it goes backwards to like 61, where John Paul Jones is starting out as a professional. But it doesn't bother with where they went to school. I don't think it even mentions that Page was at art school. Maybe in passing. But, you know, so I'm happy with that. I want to read about the music. I want to read about how they became a great guitar player, or how they become what they became. I don't care about the mundane stuff. Yeah, I just don't. And certainly not when it comes to Led Zeppelin, because I've read it before. So this was nice. It was started, and it just it rolled into the Led Zeppelin years, and it does it nicely, and it focuses on the music. However, there are errors aplenty in this book, and it detracts from the narrative quite dramatically, actually, sometimes. And I'm finding examples as I go, and it's not, this is going to go so nice and easy, hey, look at this. But I have examples I have two different types of examples. Here's Led Zeppelin 2. The album was recorded in a number of studios in different countries. 7, in fact, it says in brackets. And there were only 9 songs. Well, what's that mean? 7 studios or 7 countries? Led Zeppelin 3 at Branrar. They went off into Wales, and it goes very nicely. And during the post, Jimmy Page spoke of the decision in 1977. Jimmy Page spoke of the decision to, quote, create the album at the cottage. Well, they didn't create the album at the cottage. They created the album at in the studio. They wrote a couple of the songs at the cottage, but they didn't create the album at the cottage. That's silly. I'm talking about the music on Led Zeppelin 3, in addition to the pedal steel on Tangerine. It talks about him playing pedal steel and Tangerine. In addition to pedal steel, Page played a surprising variety of other stringed instruments on the record. Gallows Pole was the first time for banjo, and on the Battle of Evermore, a mandolin was lying around. Battle of Evermore was on the next album, Led Zeppelin 4. He covers that ground very nicely, actually. It's not a problem. Except to say, He's really going to learn when it's, you know, no. Just no. So, I'm editing this as I go when I shouldn't. Okay, not that one. Hold on. He talks about, in the fourth album, he talks about Black Dog, and he talks about the title Black Dog. This is so, to me, this was so out there. I'd never heard this before, and I know I've heard all the crappy stuff, and maybe I've just missed it, but it says, when Led Zeppelin had a song called Black Dog, well, in some quarters, this is taken to be a reference to some sinister hellhound. The lyric surely compounded the suspicion as the beast was possessed with eyes that shine burning red. He does offer a cursory listen through the song will reveal no reference to any sort of dog or Robert Plant's words. However, there was a black Labrador. And this ordinary, everyday, mundane presence which inspired the title. But I never heard that before. That's... I just have never, ever heard that before. And I think I would have... I don't know. I don't presume I'm making it up, I guess, but... sure doesn't seem to... I don't know. Okay. Talking about Stairway to Heaven, he talks about the lifting of the... from the band, from the song Taurus by Spirit, Randy California's song on the Spirit album. I talked about it last time a bit, and how little of it he actually covers, and that's really a stretch to say he took anything. And here's what he says. It appears the inspiration for, quote-unquote, much of the guitar-based hooks was taken from American Axe Spirit. Much? It was four chords at the beginning of the thing, and he didn't play them the same. There's so many sections to Stairway to Heaven, and one of them, one portion of one of them, was comparable to Taurus. Much of the guitar bass hooks, that's ludicrous. That's not wrong. That's idiotic. You know? So, as you can see, I have my moments with my moments with this one. Here's another one of these things. Going to California is the best acoustic track Led Zeppelin ever recorded. Of course, back when Battle of Evermore was on the third album, he mentioned that was the best acoustic track they ever. I don't know what I wanted to say on this one. How do you like that? So anyway, there's good and bad. Oh yeah, and this was the last one. Here's the, now when he does every album, he mentions that he runs through the songs, what the songs like, blah 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 blah, except for In Through the Outdoor. Doesn't do it on In Through the Outdoor, and he really bashes In Through the Outdoor. And here's what he says about Coda. Certainly, this is a more cohesive and balanced album than In Through the Outdoor, and too many presents as well. Coda? Huh? That's idiotic. That's not wrong. That's ludicrous. But there you go. And he does mention at 1.2 they don't make downloads available, which is no longer correct. I don't know when exactly this thing was. I should be looking at that. This is copyright 2011. But he mentions in 2007 the rumors of them doing the O2 concert. So it sounds like it was really written early 2007 or into 2007. Certainly not after the show. So I haven't covered. It's a 300-page book. What did I find? 6-7 stuff that was really kind of, and 2 I thought were really out there. And another 4 or 5 that were minor errors or poorly stuff that I thought was maybe awkwardly written. So, you know, don't take from that, boy, this is a bad book. As a matter of fact, There's a few things. It relies very heavily on interviews Pages and Jones did for Guitar Player magazine in 1977 with Steve Rosen. And the highlight of the book is actually the last chapter, maybe the best one. And this is from Steve Rosen, who's an excellent writer. And he tells the story about 40, 50 pages. He tells the story of getting the interviews, including, and I'm trying to remember, he mentions in it that Jones punched him. He has a hell of a physical confrontation with Jones anyway. Regarding something he'd written 3 years earlier. But I'm trying to remember if he actually punched him, but it was... I think he says that he did punch him, but I could be off my mark on that. But it's worth mentioning... I learned some stuff, too. There was some good stuff in this, you know? There's the interviews with John Paul Jones. John Paul Jones talks about how he's such a hard time keeping the sequences of Days Confused right. That's very interesting. That's very, very interesting, actually, isn't it? And later on, talks about he's the worst one in the band for remembering the music. He's just terrible at it. As stuff goes along. Although in the last section, the part by Steve Rosen, did I say his name was? He talks about talking to the guy side stage who ran the monitors and the lights, saying occasionally Robert Plant would introduce a song and Jimmy Page would turn to him and say, "How does that one go again?" And Plant would have to kind of sing a line or hum a little bit of it and he'd go, oh yeah, okay, got it. Got some stuff here that I didn't actually highlight properly, so that's something I better get better at, right? So there was stuff that was good, stuff that I learned, and then there was, like the bad stuff. But look, it was $2.99. It was an okay book. It was an easy, casual, fun read. It was worth it. For the $2.99, it was certainly, if it was a $30 book, I'd be saying, whoa, too many errors, needs an editor, something like that. But for $2.99, if you're looking for a book to read this weekend, pick it up, grab it, put it on your, like say, it's available for Kindle, it's available, iBooks. I didn't see it anywhere else. I did look at Kobo, didn't see it there, but, sniff around for it. It's called Led Zeppelin Uncensored on the Record by Bob Carruthers. Carruthers with two R's, by the way. And I'll provide a link on the page on rambleonradio.com. If you go there in a couple of days, sometime middle of next week maybe, I'll have a link for you. And to finish the Bring It On Home portion of the show, and yes, got the guitar here today. Hope it's in tune. Bringing it on home, light and silly story to finish things off. A drumstick once owned by John Bonham sold on eBay for $1,625.37. Gotta be kidding me. So I'm opening up the page here, by the way. And I got it up in front of me. So the original 70s drumstick sold for £7. The drumstick was definitely used. It has John Bonham engraved in silver on the side. It was made by Bonham for a custom drum builder named Eddie Ryan. He had a company called Pornico, and he made sticks for Bonham. He also made sticks for Simon Kirk. And it's a big ass stick and it has Bonham's name is embossed in scripted silver paint across the stick. And the Promoco stamp is still legible on it as well. And some guy spent $1,625.37 on John Bonham's drumstick. And I sure hope he can authenticate that. It'd be nice to know what show he'd use it for, wouldn't it? But there you go. That's your light and silly story to end things up. That's it. That's a wrap. Hope you enjoyed. And I will see you in... I got to think about the schedule, how my schedule is going to work for the next little while. But I believe we'll be back in 2 weeks. It's 2 weeks after that, it might be iffy. How's that? So sometime around the 21st, probably the 22nd will be recording date. So I will see you around then in 2 weeks for episode number 11. This has been episode number 10 of Ramble on Radio. Thank you for listening and have a good 2 weeks.